We're going to continue on with our series of Never Give Up, but today we're doing it rodeo style because, you know, it's Roundup. So hold on and don't you ever let go, right? You like that tithes and offering? But I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the picture that we had up there during the first slide of the Roundup, and it was the man who was doing the I think it's the bull, where they get off their horse, they lasso it, they get off their horse. Oh, thank you. And then they have to drag the bull down by the horns, and then they have to wrap it up like its legs and everything. And I was thinking about this verse, and it's in Hebrews 10:23, if you have your Bibles. And there's lots of different versions that I have in front of me, but a couple of the, I'll read it first through, and then I'll read you a couple of different words that I saw as I was reading through these. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to this hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Let us hold unswervingly to this hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. The NIV says, let us hold, oh, that is NIV, sorry. New King James says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I wanted to go back to the Amplified over here, and it says, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. Somebody say amen. But when I was going through this, almost all of them say something like hold fast and seize, continue holding, hold on tightly. I'm going through here real quick. Oh, I love the message. So let's do it. Full of belief and confident. I love that. Let's just do it. Let's just stop thinking about it. Let's just do it, right? Let's just do what we've been saying, and let us have confidence that God is faithful, and let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Don't you love that? Let's hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Now, the whole idea behind this rodeo event that we see is you cannot let go of this bull. If you let go of the bull, then you won't be able to drag him down to get him to surrender, right? If you let go, you're in trouble because he's got some things on the side of his head that could be a problem, right? I mean, there's some serious issues that can happen if you let go of that. And I've seen, it's not my favorite, but I've been to rodeos, and I've seen the bull riders. Again, it's not my favorite. I spend most of the time with my eyes closed praying in the spirit for them. But they don't let go, right? They're on those bulls, and what is it, 8-point-something seconds? I don't know. I don't remember what it was. What is it? Is it 8 seconds? Just eight seconds. It feels like eternity when I'm praying. Okay. But they're holding on, right? And they don't let go. Because if they let go, what? They don't win the prize. And there's nobody around to help them to get off. There might be an injury that happens, right? So they're holding on. And as we're talking about Roundup Sunday, there's a lot of promises. Many, many promises in God's word about what he has in store for his people. Okay, we are supposed to be blessed to be a blessing, right? If you don't have enough, you cannot be a blessing to someone. You need someone to bless you, right? Now, we've all been through seasons of that, but I am looking for the day when we are all so blessed that when something arises, we just all go, how much? And it's off the top. Why? Because there is a work to do in these last days, and I'm here to tell you it's going to cost something. If you think it's free, think again, right? We should be rising up in our communities as pillars for the people around us to see as a light to come to for help. That is what the church's job was. He never envisioned the services that the states do. That was not his plan. Men had to create something because the church dropped the ball. I'm looking for the day when our church, many churches, but our church especially, has warehouses filled with stuff that when there is a need, we say, okay, come here. We train people not just to receive, but how to sow, how to be a tither and a giver. What church are you going to? Are you tithing? Because you don't just give somebody something over and over and over. You know what that is? That's a crutch. And you're actually crippling that person because they never see themselves as someone who can actually make something and give to someone else. But that's what our society has done. We are crippling so many people with the gimme, 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 gimme. The church should be rising up and saying, yes, we will help you, but you volunteer here, you volunteer here. When you do get income, you give your tithes and offerings. Why is that? Because we have watched single moms in this church in the past go from needing and needing to being the ones that are sowing into other single moms' lives because they didn't just stay where they were. We helped them to see the vision. They grabbed hold and didn't let go, and now they're the ones prospering, and they're able to help other people. Do you see how this is what the church was meant to do, was meant to teach people? But if the church has no resources, what are we supposed to do? Do you see what I'm saying? This is why it's so important that we ourselves stop seeing ourselves through tradition. Stop seeing ourselves through the world's eyes, that we have to be poor, bless God. That does not bless God. I look back in the Old Testament and through to the New Testament, and there is no lack. No lack for God's people. I'm going to say it again. No lack for God's people. So why is there a lack now? That's because somewhere along the lines, God's people have been tricked to believe a lie. But we're here to tell you today, we grab hold of the word of God and the promises, and we hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Because it doesn't just change overnight. God bless you. There are times when he does that, and I love it. But sometimes it's a working out of our faith. It's learning to get a job. And to work that job. And when you get a paycheck, to tithe or give an offering, right? You're learning, you're growing to where you reach the point where it's easy to tithe on $1,000. You don't even think about it, right? Well, then he takes you to the next level, and the next level, and the next level, to where you're doing a $250,000 tithe check. Somebody say amen. Because that's where God is taking us to, because I know this group is obedient givers. Amen? So now we have to hold on to the promises and not let go. Don't let the devil try to convince you. Don't let him pull you back in. You keep on holding firm, holding fast, never letting go on the promises that he has regarding your finances. Never let go. He will be faithful. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you for this word. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised, you promised, Father, a wealth with no sorrow, Father. Pressed down, shaken, and running together, would men give unto our bosoms. I could go on and on with the promises that you have for the righteous, for those who are sowers, Father, for those who give to every good work, God. You have the blessing in store for them. And I pray today, Father, that we would not slip back into old mentalities, that we wouldn't let go of that promise that we've been holding on to. It doesn't matter how long we've been believing, Father, we know that we know that we know that you are faithful. And that thing will have to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for today, for touching every person's finances. I pray, Father, that there is more than enough at the end of every month, more than enough for them to give to every good work, to when you whisper, give here, give there, give to this, that we would have the resources to be able to give and we would be obedient. Father, I just praise you, Lord, for this word. Never give up. We are not going to give up on the promises that you have given us for our finances. We praise you for your faithfulness today. Bless every seed that is sown in the sower today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today on this Roundup Sunday. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, we've been, enjoying some old, we like cowboy movies. But really, if you get past the 50s and 60s, they start to kind of go south with language and things that they show, you know. But some of the old ones, like Maverick. Anybody ever seen the old Maverick series? We rediscovered that, and we have, like, I think almost every season of it. And we just throw them in, Brett and Bart Maverick, you know. And we discovered another one. The movie The Magnificent Seven, right? And all those cowboys, and one of them is Steve McQueen. And so we said, let's do a little research on what else Steve McQueen has out there. And he has this series that he did before he was probably what made him famous. And it was called Wanted Dead or Alive. Anybody remember that show? Yeah? And what he would do is he would ride into town and he would take off his hat and he would pull out the wanted poster from his hat. So on behalf of Steve McQueen, what's his name in the show? Josh Randall. Josh Randall, I have today's sermon in my hat. There it is. A salute to Steve McQueen, right? Who I heard got born again before he went on to the eternity, you know? So it's a marvelous thing. Praise the name of Jesus. And you know, Jesus is part cowboy because when we all come back, if you read Revelation, there's horses in heaven, right? And I have my request in to the Lord here again in the sight of witnesses that when I come back with him, I'm going to be at least somewhere. I don't know if I'll get the space closest to, but I'd like to be right next to John Wayne. Can you imagine that? When we're all coming back with him for the second coming, all that evil stuff is happening in Israel, and the climax of the tribulation period. I'm not making this stuff up. It's in the Bible, right? This is Bible. And they're about to destroy Israel. And Jesus, we're all up there, you know, we've been in heaven for 7 years after the rapture. And Jesus looks at us and says, everybody saddle up. It's time to go back and take it. And I'm asking to be on the horse next to John Wayne, right? Because I just want to hear him say, let's go, Jesus riders. Drive them out. One of my favorite John Wayne movies. These guys, you know, not these guys. These are the good guys. That picture there is kind of like I did a Western posse search, okay? How many are in Jesus' posse, right? Well, John Wayne always had guys that would ride with him, the good guys. Somebody say the good guys, right? In this one movie, the bad guys stole all the horses, the wild horses that were on his ranch, and they stole them and just took them. And I think they might have killed a couple of his guys, and one guy escaped and came to John. And John Wayne, he gets that John Wayne look. Oh, really? Saddle up, boys. So he drives out there, and they find him. They're out of water and hole, these guys that stole his horses. And the guy's like, well, I'll give you back your horses if you have gold. He goes, I didn't bring any gold. Well, then do you have silver? I didn't bring any silver. Well, what do you got? Just lead. That's what he says, right? Don't you love that? The devil's like, what will you do to get your stuff back? What did you bring? Just lead. Somebody say, just lead. Just the word. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Well, we are in God's posse. And when you think of a posse, you can think of like God's angels out there just rounding stuff up. That's why we call this service the roundup service. It's fun, you know, and all that. But we're believing God to round stuff up that might have got away from us. How many know we are in a country right now that's kind of gotten away from us? How many know the church at large has gotten away from us? Us meaning us. Jesus and his posse. A lot of the church is out there doing their own thing or not doing anything, hiding, sinning, doing whatever they want to do, making up excuses about why they don't ride with Jesus anymore. Amen? Well, we're here to round it up. So some of us, our health has gotten away from us. Or our prosperity, or the joy, or family members that have gotten away. And we're here to say, round them up. Somebody say, round them up. Hallelujah. Amen. And just in this season that we are in, I shared this a couple weeks ago, I really felt like the Lord said, pack it in tight. Somebody say, pack it in tight. Have you ever seen those cowboy movies where it's a wagon train? Why are they in a wagon train? Somebody say, safety. So they can circle the wagons if they have to, if they get attacked by enemies. They want to kill them, right? So the Lord told me, pack it in tight. And what he meant was, son, for a season, I'm going to show you things to be sharing with the people that are from other ministries that you partner with. You don't have, like, I'm not going to be, again, as far as I know, by the Holy Ghost, and he's given me things in a different notebook, but there's a series that we're going to be touching on for the next 8 weeks, and it's called How to Be Strong in the End Times. And it's straight from George and Terry Pearson's, who got it from, guess who? God, from the Word of God, right? And things they've heard over the years. Somebody say, pack it in tight. So I'm going to be using their outlines to study, and the Lord will give me things to show. Of course, he does, right? That's what I'm talking about. Pack it in tight. There's been other things we've been sharing from like Charles Capps and Kenneth E. Hagin. And guess what? Speaking of cowboys and Old West, I got this in the mail from Tulsa, Oklahoma, from Richard Roberts, Oral Roberts Ministries. I was watching their broadcast the other day, and Richard is doing a live broadcast again, just like the old days. It's so great, at 10 o'clock in the morning on Victory Network. And this, and you'll just have to bear with me, because some of this might sound a little out there. But how many know it's better to be out there with Jesus than being reclusive? He told me one time, I don't want my people to be reclusive. I want them to be responsive, right? But Brother Richard was saying, he was like, I just feel, I'm of course paraphrasing, but he's feeling a need to just, obviously it's a healing ministry, Oral Roberts, right? And he said, I want to send everybody who will reply to me a little packet of sealed packet of anointing oil. And I want you to touch it, speak the word over it, don't open it, lay hands on it, and then mail it back to me. And he said, I'm going to take everybody, it's probably thousands of people from all over the world, I'm going to pour it all into a big, vat and pray over it. And then I'm going to send everybody back little vials of it that you can anoint people with. Now, that might sound a little nutty to the world and even to church people, but guess what? I don't care. There's another Old West show with Tom Selleck, and one of the famous lines is, I can't tell you how much I don't care. You know why I feel, in my response, I called, left a message, hey, Pastor Steve Livengood, Redeemed Church, Vancouver, Washington. I want to do this, I said, for my church. Because there are some things that have been persisting in health. Persisting. And the Word of God does say, call the elders. And I've always thought of that in terms of the elders of the, like this church. We have people that have been around here for a while. But there's also elders of the church. Richard Roberts. Oral Roberts Ministry, I consider that an elder of the church. Glory to God. So I'm going to pass this around, and I just want everybody to lay hands on it. I'm going to keep preaching. Don't be loud about it. Just say, in Jesus' name, I receive my healing. And we release healing on anybody who needs healing. Because there's going to be people that send stuff to him that's in a lot worse shape than you might be. So let's also get our minds off ourselves. But let's believe God for health breakthroughs in Jesus' name, okay? And the little vial is in here. It's so small, you wouldn't even know it, okay? So I'm just going to pass that around. In Jesus' name, somebody say, in Jesus' name, we receive our healing. And we pray the healing power on anybody else who responds. And then when you're done, just bring it back up to me, amen? And just pay attention to me while it's moving around. Somebody say, Roundup. That's part of the Roundup. Rounding up our healing or someone else's healing. Amen? Those things that just seem to keep going. And you've been prayed for before, and you've been prayed for before, and you've been, why not? Somebody say, why not? Hallelujah. Let's get the Oral Roberts anointing on this too. I wasn't born yesterday. Amen, right? And that's another example of packing it in tight. Pack it in tight. Because pride would say, well, I got the Holy Ghost too. I'm a minister. I could lay hands on the sick. And yeah, but if the Holy Ghost says to do something, somebody say, just do it. It's kind of a Nike term, isn't it? I was thinking of that yesterday, watching all the sports stuff and the commercials. And I thought maybe we should rephrase that. The just subdue it. The just, how many know the Bible says the just will live by faith? So the just will just subdue it. Put it under. Take that cow down. Hallelujah, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Now, for this, again, part of this roundup thing is we're tightening it up, following close. And Pastor George is proclaiming, if you remember back in February, we did a 21-day fast and prayer for specific things. How many, if you're going to fast and pray, at least identify why before you just start skipping meals? Because then you're just skipping meals. Amen? And we had a great time back in February, breakthroughs. I know a lot. I've heard testimonies from people. Well, he called another one. And it starts next Sunday. And in your notes, you'll see down there, I thought it said 3 weeks. But it's actually 2 weeks. Somebody say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor George, right? No. I feel kind of like the football coach who's like the offensive line coach, and I'm ready to run everybody, like a lot. And the head coach says, oh, dial it back, dial it back. Amen. I put in there in your notes, I said, down in item C, I said September 8th through 28. It's actually September 8th through the 21st. So next Sunday, it starts. And it'll go through the Saturday, I believe it's Saturday the 21st. 14 days. Somebody say 14-day Daniel fast. Partial fast. Amen? The Lord, I've been talking to God about this for, because I knew it was coming. And I've been asking him, because, oh, I've learned so much from these people about this type of thing, right? And specifically, Lord, what do I fast? What do I fast? And I felt like for me, he gave me four things. Somebody say, it's not complicated. This is not about not eating or drinking for 2 weeks. And even watch what you say, because you should write this down or put it, make a notes page. Next Sunday, I may try to have, we actually had little sheets that they produced where you could actually fill in some blanks. So next Sunday, I may have that. But if not, just have a notes page. What am I fasting? And don't say things like, television. What does that mean? Right? Or sugar. Right? Good luck. Some of you, right? You don't want every time you have something sweet, it's going to condemn you. If you just say sugar, right? Now I'm just talking. It's okay, we just talk. Just talk. For me, he said, it's donuts, son. Donuts. For me, I'm talking about me, right? Because I'm on a route all week long. I do business out there. And I've already been in the habit of doing some things in this realm through the morning. So by about 11 o'clock, donut, It's donut o'clock. Just one, most every day. And that's one thing he said, present to me. How about this one? No coffee, no coffee. Good luck. Good luck, right? Now, praise the Lord. It'd be great if Steve could lay aside coffee and sugar forever. Somebody say, forever. I'm never going to have coffee or sugar forever. Starting tomorrow. But the Holy Ghost, he works with us. And sometimes he's not asking for things that we think he's asking for. And I asked him about it. And he said, no, it's that coconut milk latte. Give me that. I like coconut milk lattes. Maybe a couple times a week, not every day. But he said, that's the coffee I want you to set aside. Amen. I've also got on my phone, I've never liked games on my phone, but I found one that's called, what's it called? Retro Bowl, College Edition. And it's a football game. And I mean, you can play a whole game like in 2 minutes. And I think you can pull up your, like your, because you have a little coach, and you get this history going. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I've played that many games? And you start adding up how much time that might be. But that's something I like to do that every day. So just, you know, a little brain rest. He said, that's what I want. Set that aside. Hallelujah. And then the other thing, we could just say, music, all music. Well, be specific. Ask the Lord. There's a certain artist that I really enjoy listening to. He's got 5 songs. It's me. I've got my own little YouTube thing, and I've got these songs that I've produced and written that I love listening to. Love it. They're hilarious. They're not spiritual. They're just fun songs. And I listen to those almost every day, at least once. And he said, lay aside your music. You like that. Your music. Amen. A Daniel fast is about laying aside something you enjoy or you crave for a season. And I thought Pastor George said 3 weeks. But Pastor George said it's 2 weeks. So you can all just say, woo! Hallelujah, right? Amen. I did. I was like, oh, praise Jesus. Because I've been doing more projects and things the past couple weeks, so I haven't heard the details. And this morning, he was just getting into it. And I was like, okay, I got to hear. In fact, I even asked on the chat, did he just say 2 weeks? And then he repeated it. I was like, whoo, hallelujah. Amen. But there's some things that you might set aside for God and you won't ever go back to it. For me, it was almond milk. I really enjoyed almond milk. I set aside regular milk a long time ago for health reasons. And I discovered I really liked, really liked almond milk. Glass of it every couple hours. When I get home, you know, and Shelly starts asking me, do you know how many calories are? I'm like, it's almond milk, all right? It's, what do I have to do? I didn't talk to her in that tone of voice, but you know what I'm saying? I enjoyed it. In the last fast, the Lord had me set that aside. And do you know, I took a drink of that after we fasted, and it tasted just like I totally lost it. And I started to gradually get the taste back, but I just felt like, you know what, this is just something I'm going to lay aside completely. And I haven't gone back to that. So you just let the Holy Ghost lead you. Let him lead you. And if everybody does something, then welcome to the posse. Right? I've learned over the years that I can lay aside something every day in the name of Jesus, even if it's not fasting season. Lord, what would you have me lay aside today? Son, just give me the whipped cream. That's another thing. Whipped cream on my coffee. Oh, I just had to have that. Had to. Till I started fast. And you know what? I've never gone back to that. Never. And you know, it's probably good that I haven't gone back to that, right? But there's usually, if you just ask him, somebody say, just ask him, just inquire of him. Hallelujah. Amen. Why are we doing this, Pastor Steve? Why? Why should we suffer? Well, because we're called to. Fasting and prayer, somebody say, and prayer, is just part of our DNA as believers, as a church. It's because, you know why? Because it's war. We are at war. Amen? And there is a devil out there killing, stealing, and destroying. Stealing, killing, and destroying, that order. And we need to be people who are adamantly against him stealing, killing, and destroying. And since it's a spiritual battle, we need to do spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. But I love this. This checklist is what Pastor George produced, and we went over this last February. But last February seems like a long time ago to me, right? So first of all, it says decide the purpose of your fast. If you're going to fast, here's several things to remember. Decide the purpose of your fast. And in terms of tying that together with Roundup, I call that hang up the wanted poster. What's gotten away from you? John 14, 26 says this. But the helper, somebody say the helper. That's what I love about a posse, right? We need his help. We need his help. If this thing is going to turn around, man, we need his help. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So there's seven things that we're putting on that wanted poster, right? Number one, somebody say number one. And again, this is from Pastor George and Terry from Eagle Mountain Ministries, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, because we're packing it in tight. And I agree wholeheartedly with every one of these. Number one, somebody say number one. An awakening to God in the body of Christ. Now that sounds like, what? Oh yeah. Christians need to wake up, come to their senses, come back to their Savior, right? Fasting and praying for that. Number two, somebody's number two, an awakening to God in Israel. Glory to his name forevermore. Israel, Jews around the world, the Israeli Defense Forces, all that stuff that the devil's still trying to do to kill Jews and Christians, right? God, somebody say, God loves Israel. The Jewish nation is still his chosen people. I've been, since about September last year, I felt stirred to start listening to and reading and studying the Torah portion on Saturdays that Jews around the world are all reading, right? Something out of, it's either Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the five books of the Torah, and then there's usually a chapter out of one of the prophets, and then Messianic, it's important if you're going to do this, make sure it's a Messianic, that means they receive Jesus as Lord. That's important, right? And then they'll usually have a New Testament chapter as well. But yesterday, I mean, they're all so powerful, and Rabbi Joseph Shulam is the one that I've met before, and he's been a part of ministries I've been a part of in years past. They have a ministry called Nativia in Jerusalem, in Israel, that we actually partner with as a church. And he has a YouTube series every week. And he goes through and just shares, emphasizes some things and brings a Jewish perspective and connects it to Christianity and all these kind of things. One of the coolest things that he shared yesterday, I've never thought of this, but that chapter, and it was in the prophet portion, I think it was Isaiah 55, but it talks about, you remember that chapter, if you've read Isaiah, it talks about lengthening your tent and broadening and stretching out your tent stakes. And he said, he was emphasizing, he goes, guys, this is right before Babylon was taking over everything. And Isaiah was saying, stretch it out. What he was saying, and Rabbi Joseph said this, was the Gentiles are coming and joining us. And then it goes into no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. Why? Partly because there's a lot more of us coming in to support Israel. That's why it's so important as Americans that we vote for people who are not anti-Semitic. Because there is a spiritual law. Blessed are they who blessed you. Cursed, somebody say, cursed are them that curse you. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? So an awakening to God in Israel, that Jews around the world would recognize Jesus Christ, their Messiah. Hallelujah, right? Number three, somebody say number three. An awakening to God in America and the nations of the world. And I believe we're seeing that. I believe we're seeing that. But we need to keep the pedal to the metal, if you know what I'm saying. We can't go into coast mode. Amen? Number four, we're praying and fasting for the 2024 November elections. Hello. Right? That the right people would be voted in and the wrong people would be voted out. In the name of Jesus. Number five, breakthroughs for the church. I put in there Redeemed Church, but really for ministries we partner with. But yeah, breakthroughs for this ministry. Right? Amen. Praise his name forevermore. We pray in the Holy Ghost about these things. Number six, personal breakthroughs, answers, direction, and clarity. So write some things down. Health breakthrough, financial breakthrough, salvation for my family, house, whatever, spouse, whatever, business. Amen. And number seven, to prepare for all that is coming. Hallelujah. Somebody say, walls up. Somebody say, cowboy up. Hallelujah. And then the next section there, identify, we emphasized that a moment ago, so we'll kind of skim through this. But identify, so now, you know, we see the why, right? Now it's the what. Identify what you are going to fast. Somebody just say this out loud. I am going to fast. You said it. Hallelujah. I remember Kenneth Copeland talking about his wave runner. And it's, you know, we can wear Texas stuff every week if we want, because we are real close in partnership with Texas Ministry. But he was talking about his wave runner. He calls it a water motorcycle, right? And he says there's a fast key. It's like a governor. And if you don't use the fast key, you can only go like up to 35 miles an hour. But if you use the fast key, look out. Because why? You go faster. Fast. And I believe the connection there is when we fast and pray, it will speed things up in the spirit. Hallelujah. Now we could act like just Christians that, well, what's going to happen is what's going to happen. What's it matter? What's it matter? Why do that? Just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. That's in the Bible. That type of mindset does not please God. What I do doesn't matter. Don't matter. Nope. I'm just going to keep doing what I've always done and c'est la vie. That's not the kind of guy or gal he's looking for. to be in the posse. And I don't know about you, but when I see him face to face, I don't want to have to go, ooh. It says hide for a few hundred years, right? No. I want to make eye contact and be like, Jesus, I'm home. And have him do the same, right? Well done. Amen. Now, well done doesn't mean we did everything perfect and never made a mistake. No. But it means our hearts were in it. Our heart. He's looking for people whose hearts are in it. It's another song I just wrote. By the way, it's not out there yet on the tube. But I love this old Rick Springfield song. Anybody like Rick Springfield back in the day? It was called State of the Heart. Oh, man, you should look it up. Because it is so... It's a love song. But if you hear it in terms of Jesus, and I rewrote it and added some things to it, and it's awesome. And the whole thing is, it's all about the state of your heart. And he says, I'm waiting here for you in the state I'm in. In other words, I'm not changing to be like you. You can come join me. In the posse, the call is out. The invitation is out. He's given me dreams like that. There was one dream that I had, and it cowboy dreams, you know? I'm laying in my bed. I'm like a teenager back then. And it's like those swinging doors like a saloon, you know? But it's my bedroom. And I hear these, like on wood planks, like some guy in boots. And he peeks in, and it's a bad guy. Dark hat, this piercing eyes. And he looks at me and he goes, you better shut up. Shut up. Shut up. And then off he goes. And I'm like, I'm not saying a word, man. I mean, like that, you're having a nightmare type feeling. And all of a sudden I hear he's running back toward me, like getting louder. And he busts in and starts strangling me. I told you to shut up. I told you to shut up. And in my dream, I said, Jesus, wake me up. And I woke up. And look, I'm a preacher, and I'm not going to shut up. Hallelujah. And another dream I had, I was in kind of that area where cowboys all hang out, and I was kind of shorter than everybody. They're all, and the good guy came in, the white hat, and I knew that's him, right? And I knew he was getting together a posse, and all I knew, I wanted, but I couldn't get through. I couldn't get his attention, right? And he through everybody, he pointed his finger at me and said, I'm calling you out. Woo! Glory to God. He's calling you out. Somebody say, saddle up. Oh, hallelujah. So when you identify what you're going to fast, I put in there, take aim. Take aim. Load your gun. In business terms, I heard a business person say, specific is terrific. That's why I don't just say sugar, television, music, forever. I'm never going to eat again. Water only. That's not what he's asking. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that's not what he's asking. In fact, he's not even asking for 21 days this time. Glory to his name forevermore, right? Letter C, proclaim the fast before the Lord. Somebody say, call it out. And the date there, y'all can just go, hallelujah, is a week too long. September 8th through the 21st, I believe, it's the Saturday, I think that's the 21st. 14 days, 14-day period. Now, if you don't do this, there's no condemnation. I'm just telling you what I've been told to say. It's all up to you. You're not going to go to hell. You're not going to miss the rapture. Keep coming, right? But there's an invitation. It's an opportunity to grow. And to be a part of it, right? And the verse there that they share, well, let's go back to the identify first. There's a verse there. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of cowboys and cowwomen, right? Cowgirls. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And then for proclaiming the fast, 2 Chronicles 23, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, praise God, this isn't even a minister. This is a king, right? And we've heard stories of leaders, political leaders, declaring a fast. Praise God for leaders who have this thing called fear of God. What does the fear of God mean? Fear of God means I have a sense that I'm going to answer for everything that I do to a higher authority. Even though I'm a judge, I am not the judge. There's a bigger judge that I'm going to have to stand before and answer to. So therefore, all of my judgments, all of my rulings, I need to keep that in mind. Fear of God. Fear of God. When it comes to the life of a child, fear of God. When it comes to borders, fear of God. When it comes to finances and budget and economy, fear of God. When it comes to religious liberty, fear of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, don't mess with God's people. Hallelujah. You just look through history. I was listening to Rabbi Joseph recommended that we search out, because the Torah portion was about, there's two mountains in Israel, Mount Ebal and Mount, I can't remember the other name, but that one of them is called the Mount of Blessing, and the other one is the curse, right? But Mount Ebal is the curse, and the reason is, geographically, because the mountain that's called the Blessing is right by the coast, so all the clouds come to it, and it's green and lush. And the other one is like the desert, just desolate, right? And Joshua built an altar on Mount Ebal, the curse mountain. And in their diggings, in their, you know, geology and what do they call geology work? Geologists? Archaeologists, right? Yeah, thank you. Got these college kids here to help. The archaeologists have dug up the altar that Joshua built on Mount Ebal. And I was watching this video, an interview with this Jewish man who's an archaeologist, and he's probably in his 80s, and he's talking about the history of all of this. And he said, I won't name any names, but I've had university professors and presidents come and see what we're dealing with, and they tell me, if we accept that, we'll have to take everybody back to kindergarten. Why? Because it proves biblical truth. It proves that the Word of God, the Bible, is truth, not some guy making this stuff up. If that's true, then Genesis must be true. Rick Renner's filming from the location of Noah's Ark, which is in the mountain range of, not Mount Ararat, it says the mountain range. And you can look it up. They have satellite photographs. They have technology now that can look into the ground, and it's the hull of a ship. And all the dimensions are right. Why isn't this on world news? Because they'd have to change everything. One thing that I can think of right off the top of my hat, evolution. They teach evolution like it's fact, and it's not. Just that archaeological find proves that's not true. Noah's Ark proves that's not true. Hallelujah. And what this gentleman said, I mean, brilliant, brilliant person, right? Archaeologist. He said, and they're so calm, they're so level-headed. And he said, there is such a, what's the word for when you use your mind? Intellectual. He said, intellectual honesty is very rare nowadays. I thought of that very thing just the other day when I was picking up a prescription at the pharmacy. And on they have pictures of two women who obviously are together with a little girl. At a health care place. How many know that is not healthy for anybody? Intellectual honesty is very rare in the last days. Hallelujah. So we've got to be people that practice that ourselves. Amen. So Jehoshaphat feared. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for leaders that have the fear of God about them. In our universities, in our schools, classrooms. How about in the pulpit again? How about ministers that actually have this thing called fear of God, not fear of my organization? Not fear of my leaders, but fear of God. Not fear of the people, but fear of God. Hallelujah, right? Business people. Zuckerberg came out recently. And he said, you know what? In 2020, I was pressured by the Biden administration to shut people up. And I succumbed to it, and I regret it. What's that called? What's that called? Fear of God. More than fear of government. That is a sign something's happening. Something is happening. But when we see things happening, we don't back off. And how many know, even after these elections, if we're all just pleased with punch at how these elections go, somebody say, we keep at it. We are full tilt boogie right through the rapture. We're getting brighter, not duller. We're getting sharper, not duller. So everybody say this, Father, with you as my helper, I proclaim this fast, September 8th through the 21st. I commit to it fully. I make the quality decision to humble my flesh for the next 14 days. In the notes, this is from a previous one, right? But beginning next Sunday. Amen. And then number D, we gotta hurry it up here. Kick the horse. I remember when we went horseback riding years ago in Damascus, there used to be this place where you could rent horses, and the horse would kind of walk up the hill nice and slow. I'd be, oh, yeah. Because I don't know anything about horses, you know? Give me the slow one, right? But then, after a while, you have about a 60-minute ride. That's what your agreement is. As soon as you get him to turn around toward the barn, all of a sudden, he gets excited. Whoa! Whoa, horsey! Whoa! He starts to gallop, right? And Steve needs to gallop right now. So believe you receive your rewards, your results now. Somebody say now, by faith. And I put in there, get her done. Get her done. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So remember during your fast, pray every day. Pray every day. Number E, minister to the Lord during the fast. Report to the sheriff, I said, right? Be close to the sheriff. Don't start going off on your own little rabbit trails. Pack it in tight, right? Minister to the Lord during the fast. Acts 13, 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. As you draw closer to him, you'll hear clearer from him. Clarity. Spend time in worship, praying in the Spirit. And then letter F, minister to others during the fast. I put in there, keep your eyes peeled. Look for opportunities to be a blessing. Amen? To encourage someone. So many times where I've been fasting and I'll interact with somebody and was like, that was a supernatural thing. Right? So just be watching and listening for that. Isaiah 58:10, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Bring light. Part of bringing light is you lighten up the atmosphere. So many people are under so much pressure. Worries and strife and fears and health reports and family issues. Part of the anointing of Jesus, a huge part, is just helping to lighten up. Lighten up. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. So this is not a burdensome, heavy, suffering thing. Somebody say, lighten up. Be joyful. Hallelujah. Fasting is also a time of preparation for greater ministry, he says. Luke 4:14, and after his fast, Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Hallelujah. I want to be a church, a ministry, I believe we are, but increasingly, I want to be a ministry, a church, a believer that the devil knows about. That's constantly on his mind. That he has got to watch his back at all. Like, is he near? Is he awake? Oh, great. Not, well, I don't care. I mean, there's a lot of Christians where the devil's like, they're actually helping me. Right? There was some bad quarterback play yesterday. I watched a lot of football yesterday. And there were some quarterbacks out there that were helping the other team, actually. Here, let me just give you the ball. No. Cam Ward, though, oh my goodness. If you watched the University of Miami yesterday, oh my goodness. Cam Ward transferred from Incarnate University, where he was a teammate of Kenneth Copeland's grandson, transferred to Washington State, had a great season. I don't remember if it was one or two. And then with all the NIL stuff, he transferred to Miami. And yesterday, they were wondering, can this kid from all these small atmospheres, how will he do in Florida with 100,000 in enemy territory? He lit the place up. He lit it up. Ran the table. Just calm. This is ice. And when they asked him, I can't remember exactly how he said it, how did you do it? And he just said, I just didn't care. I can't tell you how much, devil, I don't care about what you want to do. And that becomes a burr in his saddle. Glory to God. Oh, we're closing up. And then finally, letter G. Expect assistance from angels. Somebody say, the Calvary's coming. The Calvary's coming, man. I say that over our nation in the name of Jesus. The Calvary is coming over your life and everything that's on your list. The Calvary is coming. We just have to hold it down. Hallelujah. In some of these old West movies, John Wayne and some others, they got to hold the prisoner and hold off the bad guys until the judge arrives or the marshal. Somebody say, that's it. That's it. We are exercising our authority as deputies in the territory God has given us, family, all the mountains, business, religion, family, government, till the judge arrives. And when he arrives, I want him to know I'm on his side. And I did my job with joy. Right? Expect assistance from angels. He's got our back. Matthew 4:11, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Man, angels are real. Angels are real and demons are real, right? So when we pray and fast, we are giving those angels assignments. Assignments. Divine. Somebody say divine assignments. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. We'll close up in prayer today. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank him for his words. Thank you, Father, for your words to us today that water us, that feed us, that minister to us, that give us direction and guidance and wisdom. And we give you the praise, Lord. We give you the praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for all these wonderful promises and examples from your word and stories and testimonies that inspire us to believe, that inspire us to keep on keeping on. And we commit to do it one day at a time. Oh, how we praise you. Oh, how we praise you. And maybe there's somebody listening somewhere as these messages get posted online and so forth, and maybe you just need to come to Jesus. Maybe you just need a come to Jesus or a come back to Jesus moment. Well, this is your moment. I just want you to pray this after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I give you my life. I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I commit myself to following him closely every day of my life. I'll be in church. I'll be in the Word. I'll repent of any known sin. And I'll share my faith with others. And walk in the joy of the Lord. Thank you that I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm washed by that blood of Jesus that separates me from the curse and separates me to the blessing of God in every area of my life. Hallelujah. If you need some kind of healing in your body, just lift your hand, just lay hands on your chest and just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take my healing. Now, sickness, disease, health issues, go. And I thank you, Father, that by your stripes, by the stripes of Jesus, I am made whole, spirit, soul, and body. I see eyes opening, ears opening, cancers leaving, joint pain leaving, bones and joints being healed, backs and necks and shoulders, feet and hands. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Skin irritations clearing up. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Depressions and heaviness lifting. And the joy and the peace of God filling that emptiness in Jesus' name. The atmosphere is brighter because you have a bright future in God. And that lie that says there's nothing to live for, almost a depressing, suicidal kind of thing, we break that spirit in the name of Jesus. We receive purpose from God, divine purpose and anticipation and hope of a bright future and a bright today. And God, over every one of our family and friends who are away from you at this moment, we send those angels out to gather them in, to arrange situations and circumstances in their lives, wherever they are, people that they can receive from, and to come to Christ. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. All the praise and all the glory. And we receive a wealth from God, as the Bible says, that brings no sorrow with it. Debt free. A wealth from God that brings no sorrow with it. An end time transfer of wealth. The wealth of the wicked, the Bible says, is laid up for the righteous. We thank you for these things, Father. We are blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. Just like our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen.